But I thought, you know, there's so many things that we go throughout the year that God does for us, and we don't pause and say, Lord, thank you for working that out. I could have been in a lot of trouble, or I could have been in a little bit of trouble, and God came through and he worked something out for us. He did something that you know he did. It was for you. He pulled that off for you. And I got to thinking about Mary and how that, and I preach a lot about Luke 1 and Luke 2 this time of year because I'm so overwhelmed by it. I want you to look in verse number 26 of Luke chapter 1, verse number 26. A Christmas miracle. It says, and in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And I'm going to pause right there and pray, but the miracle of Christmas here is that God would find favor with anybody. That's the miracle. And in this particular story, he found favor in her and gave her a great blessing as a result of it. I want to look at that for a few moments. Let's pray together. Lord, I love you. I thank you for this church. I thank you for these great people. I pray that you'd bless us today as we look into the scripture together. Give us exactly what we need for the hour today. And we pray these things in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. The miracle of Christmas, or a Christmas miracle. First thing I want you to see is here is the working of God. There's no way or reason that God would work with man. In my mind, knowing the foreknowledge of God and him knowing the centuries and the millenniums ahead of him and his all-knowingness, why he would take such a gum, a mess, a troubled society called humanity that would go against every law he ever wrote and go against every word he ever spoke, and yet would still find a place in his own heart to love this man. I'll never understand that. When I see the working of God, I see that he became this man for us. He became a man so that you and I could have an opportunity to know him. There would be no way. There would be no way for us to come to know the Lord. Me and my father-in-law, we talk for hours sometimes. And the other day we were talking about being born again. And he's preached, he's told me story after story after story of people up there in Montana that he's preached to that have died and gone to hell. He'd witness to them on their deathbed and they would refuse Christ and they would die. He told me story after story after story. And as we were talking about that, my mind began to turn and to wonder why God would put me in a place where I had preachers all around me and had churches all around me and had people that loved God and believed God all around me. Why did God do that for me? Why was I not born in the darkest pit of Africa somewhere or some jungle in South America, unknown to God or unknown to not knowing God? Why did God put us where he did? I'll never understand why he found favor in man and sent his only begotten son to us. But you know, that truth can last to anybody in the whole world. That's why we got missionaries going out. That's why we got people going out and telling the story, because anybody can accept the same Christ that you and I know. Anybody can have it. And I am more firmly convinced of that today, that there was not a salvation picked and spread out for just a few. The table is not just for a few. The table is for anybody that'll sit down and accept the Lord Jesus Christ. He became this man for us, the working of God. He borrowed this manger for us, the working of God. He was born in a manger that didn't even belong to him. Lived in a home that wasn't his heavenly father's home, and spent 30 years that way, and then spent his entire ministry, invested 3 years of his adult life helping people and rescuing people and saving people without a place to lay his own head. I'll never I'll never wrap my mind about that. I can't imagine somebody being so gracious and loving and kind. Listen now very carefully. That God would look at you or look at me and say, I love you enough to save you. And then you turn around and spit in his face with your attitude. Or that you would disobey the word of God. Or that I would go against the calling of God in my life. There's so many things, so many ways that we fail Him, and so many times that we're against what God wants us to do. He knew us, and yet He still loved us. I'll never understand that. God told Jeremiah, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. Those people out there that would tell you that life doesn't begin until a baby is born do not know anything about the Bible. They don't know anything about it. Amen. Before we're even formed, we have life. Yet God looks at us and sees value when the world just sees another more mature monkey. The world sees somebody that may be able to survive in life and may not be able to survive in life. And when you die, they'll put you in a box and slap a number onto a piece of paper verifying your death. And you'll go down in the records of history and be forgotten. Not soon long after that. But you know what? There's a new name written down in glory and it's mine. And I may not be known 100 years from now. But in the glory world, I'll be known 100 million years from now. Because Jesus worked for me. He became the man for us. He borrowed the manger for us. And He bestowed this miracle of Christmas for us. He came to Mary. There's all kind of ways He could have come. There's all kind of things He could have done to demonstrate His godliness to a lost society. But He did it in a way that would minister to us so that you and I could come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God is higher than the highest, greater than the great. He's the best thing that's ever happened in the whole history of humanity. How is it now that you and I have the opportunity to fellowship with Him, and you and I have the opportunity to grow in the grace and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and yet every day we figure out a way to get around it? So many people live and die and never maintain a close fellowship with God. Never know what it's like when all hell breaks loose in life around you and in your soul to be able to take a deep breath and know it's all going to be okay. Very few people can experience that. Very few people have come to know that. And this whole concept of Christmas, Jesus being born through the Virgin Mary and living a life, her being just a human just like us, and Him choosing that avenue to come to the world, proves to us that He made a way so that you and I could reach Him. Because without Him, there's no way we could reach heaven. Now that's the working of God. But then I want you to see the worship of God. Look back at our text in verse number 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. Now, I want to stop right there and ask you a question. Would that be something that you would appreciate being said about you? Highly favored in the eyes of God. Now, we want to have high favor in the community. We want to have high favor with our families. We want to have high favor in the county. But how many of you are seeking to have high favor with God? What's more valuable to you in eternity? High favor in the... Now, we got to have a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. I know that. It's to have a good name is a great thing and the best thing. But how important is it for us to have a good name with God if the community doesn't look upon me favorably? And I've lived a life where God can look upon me favorably. Have I succeeded? You better believe I've succeeded. We ought to desire that. All right, so we see that Mary praises here. The word, he said, blessed art thou among women. The word blessed here means to praise, celebrate with praise. It's one of the reasons that God allowed Jesus to be born through Mary to bring salvation to mankind. One of the reasons that he did that is because she was a praising lady. Blessed art thou among women. She was a praising lady. Now this was not a preacher's wife. This was not a deacon's wife. She wasn't even a Sunday school teacher. None of that structure had been set up. She was just a day-to-day, ordinary person like you and I. And yet she was blessed among women. She was a praising lady. It means to invoke blessings or to consecrate things with solemn prayers. So she made it a priority in her life to pray for others and to bring blessings to others. She was the kind of person that God could use, because not only was she praising, but she was taking what God had done for her and being a blessing to others. And then she was praying about it. You want a miracle of Christmas? You want to see God do something in your life and in your family and experience what God is able to do that is exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think? Then let God make you blessed. She was praising. She was bestowing her blessings on others. And then she was a praying woman. It means to pronounce the blessings of God on something, to cause to prosper, to make happy, and to be favored. So in other words, because Mary did right, others were able to do right. Mary was the opposite of a stumbling block. Now listen, I won't be negative, but for just a minute, but here's my negativity. You ready?
Well, yes.
Well, if you don't have positive and negative, it won't crank. Amen? Here's some negative. The exact opposite of what Mary was is a stumbling block. So you can be a blessing with your life, or you can be a hindrance with your life. So we're at church. It's a time of consecration and personal push for holiness. We all want to live right and do right. That's why you're sitting on a church pew, and I applaud you for that. My hand is virtually patting your back at this moment, but I want you to think right now between you and God. I want you to think in this moment. Do you push others toward God? Or do you hinder others in their trip to God? God chose Mary in this moment, in this time, for this purpose, because she was a pusher. She would push people toward God. She would bring people in to know God. She would share what she had so that others could know the goodness of God. But how many people are out there right now, and how many may be in the congregation today, that when somebody wants something in their life or needs God in their life, instead of being able to find Him in us, they trip over us on their way to find Him? I never want to be that hindrance. I never want to be that stumbling block. When somebody runs into me in society, I want them to run into God. And in this story, we know that because of this word blessed here, when people ran into Mary, they were running into God. Not because she was supernatural or super spiritual herself. She was just a follower. And if you and I will be followers, we will find ourselves being blessed just like Mary was. No super spirituality in Mary. No supernaturalness in Mary. She just followed. Blessed. So, this is Mary praising. Look here at verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. So we saw that she was blessed and favored, and now we see that she's found favor with God. Now this is an interesting way. Remember how we dealt with a few months ago that Noah found grace? You cannot earn grace. You cannot purchase grace, but you can find it. Okay? And we see here that Mary found favor with God. Now this is simple grammar. Who's the one doing the action? Mary's looking for favor. And she found it. Mary found favor with God. By what? Seeking His face. So here we go. You want to be that blessed one? Like God used Mary and these others in the Bible. We talked about these stories of people that God used in the scripture. You want to be one of those? Then you need to find some favor. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't make any sense. It does make sense. If you'll find yourself seeking God, you'll find yourself finding favor with God. But if you're not seeking God, you'll never find His favor. You'll never find the favor of God until you start looking for it. It's not going to come automatically. God, you know what's going to come automatically? I'll tell you what's going to come automatically in your pile of flesh with a brain on top of it. That's what we all have. A pile of dirt that we're living in. That's what's going to come automatically is the dirt. The sin, the iniquity, the transgression, the life of living to the flesh is what comes automatically because we are made out of dirt. So in order to get the blessings of God and the favor of God, you got to go after it. My basketball coach when I was in high school, he wanted me to play a certain spot on the court, and I wasn't agile enough. So he tied a 20-pound weight onto this ankle and a 20-pound weight onto that ankle and made me run around the court the rest of the day. And then he took them off and made me run. And it was a whole lot easier. Are you with me? It was a whole lot easier. I had, by the way, it strengthened my legs. But it was a whole lot easier running those laps without those 20-pound weights strapped to my legs. We live like that. Everything is attached to us. And then we try to poke through that busy life and find God magically standing there with a bucket of blessings on top of us when we don't deserve them. We don't deserve His grace, much less the blessings that come on top of that. And yet He still does it. He blesses us in ways. And there's nobody in the room right now that could give enough complaints to outweigh the blessings of God in your life. And I would debate anybody in the room about that. I don't lose debates, and I'm not debating like I used to. But anybody in the room says, well, I have this problem, but this problem, this problem, this problem. Well, I'll make you a list of mine. And we'll make you a list of yours. And then we'll take the blessings of God and see how far past those blessings that they go. And we'll start with your nose. You're breathing God's air and sitting on a padded pew in God's church. That's enough for every Christian in this church to shout the whole afternoon. And yet we are so weighted down with what's not right in life and what is stressful in life and what is so busy in life and what is so difficult in life that we can't even push the gray clouds aside long enough to see that God is still on His throne and still in charge and still loving us and still blessing us. She found it. The benefits of God and the blessings of God. I want you to see now I want you to skip down into verse number 67. We saw Mary's praises. Now I want you to see Zacharias as he proclaims. Now this is the father of the cousin of Jesus. Zacharias makes a proclamation. Look at verse number 67. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies, from the hand of all that hate us. Now that right there is a Christmas miracle. Here's this man making a proclamation about what Jesus really, really is. And he makes a list here. Let's look at that list. It says, verse 67, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, by the way, that happened before the day of Pentecost. Did you see that? These people out there that say that, in the Pentecostal movement that say that you have to have a day of Pentecost and you have to have this second work of grace. No, Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost before the day of Pentecost ever happened. He got full of the Holy Ghost and he started testifying. Let me tell you something. Here's what I'm praying. Y'all may not like this, but you're going to have to like it because I'm praying it anyway. Full of the Holy Ghost next year, that you'll testify. I've been in a lot of churches. I've been in some churches, it was so dead, you could literally hear the paint peel off the roof. Ceiling. I mean, so dead. I am so glad I live in a place where a person can rear back and say, I just want to thank God that I ain't going to hell. I'd rather hear that than the anything that you could hear on any stage, in any hall, in any place in the whole world. I'd rather hear an old saint of God rear back and bless his name than anything. I'd rather hear that. I'm glad I'm in a place. And Zacharias heard the news that the Son of God was going to be born. He got full of the Holy Ghost. And guess what he said? Here's what he said. Number one, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. There's that statement of worship. Now some of y'all are afraid to worship because you're afraid of what somebody around you'll think. One preacher said, they call me a holy roller. He said, but holy means that you're living right, and rolling means that you're going somewhere, so I guess I'll accept it. Don't worry about being called a holy roller, because it'll be all right. Some of y'all just need to rear back and say, bless the Lord. Your face might crack. So, some of us are so stubborn from years and years and years of thinking things ought to be different than the way they are or whatever. You've got some kind of bitterness inside. You've not never testified. You've never really lifted up your hands in praise to God except on the fifth verse of Amazing Grace or when the kids sing Somebody Touch Me. Some of y'all, I honestly believe that I don't even know if your hands go up over your head because I'm on the front pew and I can't see behind me. Y'all okay? I wonder if it would hurt anybody today to just lift up your hand and say, I'm glad I'm saved, or bless the Lord, or hallelujah. It wouldn't hurt none of us in here. Matter of fact, it might do you a little bit of good. As a matter of fact, in Zacharias' case and in Mary's case, it did them a whole lot of good. It's filled with the Holy Ghost, prophesied saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel. Then here he says, for he hath visited and redeemed his people. Is that a reason to worship God right there? He visited his people and he redeemed his people. Now we're living in the church age, and whenever it was, I want you to think right now about when you got saved. Think about it right now. Whenever it was, I remember for me it was 32 years ago. You remember in your mind when you got saved and what happened. He visited you and he redeemed you. Some of y'all, it's been so long since that day that you're just numb to it now. You're numb to it. We're told in the New Testament to stir up the gift that is in us. And every now and then you need to go to that old stale pot and you need to stick the fire of the Holy Ghost in there and get that boiling again. Some of y'all hadn't felt God in years and years and years. Some of y'all haven't felt God since you got saved. Some of you had never felt God. What you need to do is rear back and let God help you. And that's what happened in this story with Zacharias. What did he say? He said, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up an horn of salvation. A horn of salvation. Now, what is that? Well, that's the ram. Them big horns. You ever watch? And I've watched it on that one of those animal programs. And those rams go to hitting one another. Pow! I mean, they go to. It hurts me to watch it. They'll beat on one another. And right here it's saying that because we have God, we've got the horn of salvation has driven out all of the enemy. Nobody can stand against our God. And that ought to be a reason for you to praise the Lord today. He hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. And he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets. You thank God for the word of God? You ought to worship God today because you have the word of God. Spake by the mouth of the holy prophets. We've got the completed word of God. And Zacharias, he said he redeemed his people. He visited his people. We are blessed. And we've got the word of God. You ought to thank God you got a Bible. Then he says, for us in the house of his servant David, and he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies. How do you like that? We're in the palm of his hand. God has overruled, and the devil can't do anything about it. We are saved from our enemies. Let me ask you this question now. I'm going to wrap this up, but I want you to get this. Listen very carefully. Have they been saved from their enemies yet? Anybody want to take a wild guess? Have they been saved? He's thanking God ahead of time for something that hadn't even happened yet. Oh, I'll just have my own good time. 33 years after this moment of worship, the Romans were still in charge. The Roman crucifixion is what took Jesus down. And the Romans were the ones that tore the temple down 37 years after that in AD 70. And the Romans were still in charge 2 centuries after that. When does the people of God ultimately get liberated? The people of God ultimately get liberated at the end of the tribulation period when the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords steps down onto the steps onto the mountain and breaks the mountain in half, and the people of God are rescued from their enemy and are ushered into the millennial kingdom. That's when that'll take place. And he was thanking God for Jesus being responsible for that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it ever happened.
We think, well, as soon as I feel something good, I'll thank God for it.
Zacharias heard. Jesus hadn't even been born yet. This is Luke 1, not Luke 2. Jesus had not even been born yet. He was told that Jesus was going to be born and who Jesus was. And Zacharias goes, oh, goody, goody, goody. This is the one. That is visiting his people and is going to redeem his people. Here's the beautiful thing about it. The people of Israel do not have to wait till that day to experience the freedom that God has to bring. If they'll get born again today, they'll become part of the blood-bought church and they'll go to heaven when they die. That's right. They'll go to heaven with us in the rapture. So I'm here to tell you straight up, friend, we got a million things to thank God for. We might as well get our heads out of the sand of discouragement and praise the Lord a little while, because your head will end up back in the sand of discouragement before you know it. It takes proactive effort to take a deep breath and say, I thank God for... And right here you've got a list. Look at verse 72. To perform the mercy promised to our fathers. Can I get an amen on that? And to remember his holy covenant. Genesis 3. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed and her seed. The promise of Jesus. The oath which he sware to our fathers that he would grant unto us that we being delivered out of the hand of our enemies might serve him without fear. In holiness and righteousness before him all the days of our lives. And as the people of God and as the children of God and the church of God, we see that coming in the day that we get over into glory. And we've escaped the hand of the enemy for all of eternity. Oh my soul, what a day that's going to be. We'll finish reading here. Look at verse 76. And thou, child, shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways, John the Baptist, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins. He's now testifying of the testimony that John the Baptist will have. And let me tell you something, you and I need to be doing that today. What does he say? To give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of their sins through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us to give light to them that sit in darkness. Hey, glory to God. And in the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way. Hallelujah. Hey, let me tell you something. Right here is where we see a beautiful picture of a man testifying in worship about what God has done for him. And as we go to pray, I'm going to pray that God will give you a shout. That God will give you a testimony. That God will give you the words of Zacharias and Mary, where somebody can say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Because you are missing out on the biggest part of life when you miss out on worship.